When Agnes married John Cottle of Somerset, she thought she was marrying a gentleman. It never occurred to her to wonder, not at first anyway, what he was doing in Canterbury. He was well-spoken, well-dressed, and well-supplied with money, and he rented a comfortable lodging. He was good to look at, too. He seemed never to be idle, and had found 100 different ways of earning a living. He could turn his hand to anything. Buying, selling, supplying, building, painting, repairing, you named it, he could do it. It upset the town guildsmen, of course, for he trespassed on their jealously guarded territory. Therefore, some of his work was done after dark, and sometimes after midnight. That prompted a string of complaints from neighbours, angry at having their sleep disturbed by the banging of a hammer or the unloading of a cart. Agnes was sure they complained to the guilds too, but of course they had no proof that John was stealing work from them. The people who got angrier than most were the Marians, who lived right next door.
"Shut that noise!"
Master Robert Marian would bellow out of his window, driven beyond the need to keep his voice down.
"Don't you understand that a man has to be up fresh and alert each morning to do an honest job?"
There was just the slightest stress on the word honest. Of course, Marian was a master carpenter by trade. His resentment ran deep. Then his wife, Kate, would be hammering at the Cottle's door, nightcap askew, curls tousled, hissing at John to desist and let decent folk sleep. More often than not, the hissing turned to bawling, and then other neighbours would be shouting at her to hush her mouth. Her sister Edith would chime in, and sometimes the arguments got physical and nasty. Agnes never knew she had a temper on her till then. The daughter of a wealthy mercer, she had been daintily raised in all the ladylike virtues, in the hope that she would make a good marriage. Her parents still thought she had. They did not know the half of it. For John Cottle's fists did not rain down exclusively on his irate neighbours. They pummeled his wife whenever he felt she had offended him. And he was an easy man to offend. It did not take long, though, for Agnes to retaliate. Rage and resentment would build in her until she exploded in wrath, lashing out and raining blows on her despicable spouse. Of course, there were complaints. The Cottles and the Marians were twice fined for being common scolds, and Agnes was lucky to escape the ducking stool or the bridle. When the exasperated city authorities bound them over to keep the peace, both families were forced to call an uneasy truce, but their anger still simmered. 3 years later, Archbishop Warham carried out a visitation of the clergy and people of Canterbury in St. Alphage's Church. By then, John had been chosen as warden of the fraternity of St. John the Baptist at Barham and become puffed up with self-importance. He was outraged, therefore, when the Archbishop accused him of appropriating 40 marks belonging to the Brotherhood of St. John's Chapel.
"I hold no funds belonging to it," he protested hotly. "I'll wager I know who made that complaint against me."
It made no difference. He was ordered to render an account and spent the evening grumbling as he did so. Agnes kept well out of the way. Nothing was found to be amiss with the accounts and the complaint was dismissed. But John's resentment against his neighbours festered. They were watching his every move, he was sure of it, and waiting for an opportunity to make life difficult for him. The craft guilds were powerful. They could prevent a man from working if he was not one of their members. It was time, he decided, to go back to Somerset. Not Dunster, where he had grown up, but Bath, at the other end of the shire. Agnes wondered about this. By now she knew that John had not been what he seemed when she married him, and suspected there was a good reason why he did not want to go home. Had he been up to some mischief in Dunster? Or was she overreacting? If it was true that he had no family there now, there was nothing to go back for. Bath was a big place. There would be plenty of work there. She was content to leave. She was not close to her parents, and it was uncomfortable living in Canterbury, where all their neighbours hated them.